Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us. Busy show today, a lot to get to, and I want to start today with a couple program announcements or radio-related announcements. First off, tonight from 7 to 8 p.m. at Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg, we have a special program, Night of Champions radio show, honoring the Silver Creek 12-year-old All-Stars. They won the Indiana Little League State Championship last week, and now they're headed to the Great Lakes Regional coming up here in about a week. Really less than a week is when they'll be opening play up at the Great Lakes Regional. But we will celebrate them. The entire team and coaches will be with us tonight. The radio show portion will begin at 7, but there's a $5 cash buffet. And if you've ever been to Sir Dano's, you know it's great pizza. You can check it out. Again, that opens at 6:30. So come whenever you want. The pizza buffet will open at 6:30. The radio show goes live at 7. If you're in the studio audience, obviously you'll be able to hear the show as well. But we look forward to interviewing the entire team. This is a Night of Champions is something that we've done over the years for almost every state championship team that the area has seen going back for a number of years. So we've had really, it's just fun to hear from the kids directly. Whether it was the key player on a state championship team or a role player, it's neat to get them some airtime and to talk about their accomplishments. And you really learn a lot more about these kids. And so we've continued that for the Little League, for this big main level of Little League baseball with Silver Creek going on to the regional. So that's tonight from 7 to 8 at Sir Dano's. If you can't make it, we'd love to have you join us on the radio. You can stream the broadcast tonight as well, just as you can all of our play-by-play and games here on the Big X. But we look forward to having you in the audience one way or the other, whether you're with us at Sir Dano's tonight or you're listening on the Big X. We're glad to have you and hope that you'll tune in as we celebrate a really good team that accomplished a lot at that state tournament. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they compete at the next round, because don't forget, Great Lakes Regional in Indianapolis, it's a double elimination bracket. They start August 4th and take on the Ohio team. If they win that, if they can get through that bracket somehow, not only do they get the chance to play on ESPN, nationally televised ESPN, but they could go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, which is the dream of every little leaguer. This is all the way from T-ball all the way up, what you play for, the chance to get to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So awesome stuff, and we'll celebrate that tonight. You know, it's fun for me, too, because I cover these guys, whether it's high school teams or in the summer we drop down and do some of the Little League stuff, and you kind of get to know them on the field, and you pick up on their personalities, and you find out some stories from the coaches or maybe the parents about some of the different kids. But this is, in many times, is my first opportunity to interview some of these kids and to actually sit down at a table with them. So always fun. This is always an enjoyable piece that we do, and it's much about celebrating an accomplishment and trying to make some of these accomplishments more special than maybe what they are in other places by doing some neat extra programming like this. And our special thanks to Sir Dano's for hosting us tonight. Of course, right there in the heart of Sellersburg, they are always great to support it, whether it's Silver Creek High School or the Little League or whatever. So join us tonight, pizza buffet at 6:30. You might get there early because it'll be packed. It's not a big place, and I expect that place to be packed, especially with our radio set up at a table as well. So hope to have you with us tonight, whether it's live and in person or whether it's on the radio, streaming us, listening, however you may. Look forward to having you join us. Also, another programming note, tomorrow on the Thursday edition of our program, after we talk to Alex Bozich. Trey Galloway is going to join the show. Trey, of course, is IU's first commitment in the 2020 class. He committed Friday afternoon, Friday evening to the IU program, and we look forward to learning about his reasoning for committing to Indiana, what his relationships are like with the coaches. Obviously, they have to be good if he went ahead and made that decision to become an Indiana Hoosier. But we'll also talk some other things about what he is working on himself as far as senior goals and things he's working on skill-wise and areas of his game to get ready to play at the college level. So Trey is a bright young man, and I've known his dad for a long time. He's a really good player, a very heady player, and we've talked a lot about his game leading up to his commitment last week. So I really look forward to talking directly with him and learning more about his reasoning for choosing IU and a lot more about him personally, his, you know, his goals and how he is off the court as well. So Trey Galloway is scheduled to join us Thursday. That's tomorrow on the program. So I know a lot of you love when we have the recruits on, whether it's an IU target like Anthony Leal, we had him on last Friday, or whether it's a commit like Trey Galloway. We seem to really get huge numbers for those shows and a lot of interest. So I want to let you know in advance, Trey Galloway set to join the Hoosier Report on the Thursday edition of our program. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Today we've got our Hoosier headlines, as always, to open things up in the first segment. Caleb Love announced that he's going to cut his list coming up. He's an IU target. We'll talk about that. How about this? IU basketball, the only school of 53 studied by The Athletic, or excuse me, by Stadium, another online venture that covers things very in-depth, but one of only 53 schools studied their fiscal budgets for the 2018 fiscal year that spent more on basketball recruiting than football recruiting. We'll talk about that in the headline segment. And we've got a couple local notes. A local baseball player committed to Bellarmine. Also, the Highlander Youth Recreation Intermediate team is out at the World Series. We've kind of kept you posted on that, but they play again later tonight. So we'll give you the latest update on that as well, and a couple notes about high school football. We'll do all of that coming up here in the first segment. Segment number two, Jeff Rabjohns is on the road, but he's scheduled to join us today on the program. So with Jeff, we'll catch up on a lot of things surrounding IU basketball, about the team and schedule for next year, about recruiting stuff as well. We'll get his thoughts on the Galloway addition to start the 2020 class and more when he's with us a little bit later. Also later Wednesday, always in this show, we have Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune, and he'll join us to talk about local sports here in Southern Indiana, some of the headlines going on right now. It's school back in session for a number of the schools in the area. Other schools get in next week and some a little after that. But we are approaching high school football at a very fast pace. So there is not a lot to talk about locally right now. It's a little bit of a slow period, but it's picking up, and it's picking up quickly. And before you know it, we'll be right in the mix with the high school football here on the Big X Sports Radio. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive a dollar off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A number of headlines today. I'm going to run through them briefly. Caleb Love, he's out of St. Louis, Christian Brothers, that area. He announced yesterday that on Friday, this Friday, August 2nd, he's going to cut his list of schools. I have no idea what his list is now as far as how many schools he's heard from, been offered by, is considering, but he's going to trim that up in some form or fashion. We saw Jalen Bridges come out with a list of 10, which still is a lot of wiggle room there. Doesn't really tell you if Indiana truly is one of the schools in the mix for him, but obviously we'll find out more about Caleb Love. Archie Miller, the staff, they've tracked him a lot this spring in travel ball and, of course, in June and July as well. So depending on how many schools he includes, would really be surprised if Indiana is not in the list for Caleb Love when it comes out. This is more of a discussion point than a headline, but I want to mention it here. Stadium, which is a really cool website. I kind of put them in the same category as The Athletic, but they do a lot of video work as well. Jeff Goodman, the college basketball analyst that a lot of us follow, he now works for Stadium. But they did an in-depth report about what is the financial investment required to land one of the best recruiting classes in college basketball. They analyzed more than 50 programs. It was 53 schools to be exact, and Indiana spent $46,750 more on basketball recruiting than football recruiting in the 2018 fiscal year. And again, Indiana, the only school of the 53 studied that spent more on basketball. So obviously that is a very interesting, a lot of angles, a lot of ways you could go with that discussion or that thought. But that's just kind of a, more of anything, a discussion point that I hope that we can come back to at some point with Jeff Rabjohns today or in the very near future. Indiana, one of 53 schools spending more on basketball recruiting than football recruiting by just shy of $50,000, $46,750. A couple local notes to mention. Webster Walls of Clarksville High School committed yesterday to Bellarmine for baseball. Webster had a terrific year for Clarksville. He was a lot of fun to watch and really a standout here in the area. Really cool as well because Bellarmine is in the middle or getting ready to begin a transition to D1 sports. They're going to play in the Atlantic Sun Conference, which I understand is also a really good conference in college baseball as well. And again, the good thing with Walls is he's somebody that is a local player that made a name for himself, but also helped the program that maybe hasn't been at its height. You know, Clarksville used to be one of the best baseball programs locally in the area. So to see someone have some of the numbers that he had at a school that maybe, even though they've had some sectional championships recently, Clarksville used to be a power, an absolute power in baseball. And it's neat to see a player like him come through there and commit to Bellarmine. Also, the neat tie is anytime I see a local player in Bellarmine, they're coached by Larry Owens. He's right here in Jeffersonville, and a local native getting the chance to lead a Division I college baseball program. He's done a great job at the Division II ranks, and hopefully, if he's able to continue to add players like Webster Walls and other local standouts, Bellarmine will not miss a beat when they make the jump from Division II to Division I athletics. Also, in local stuff, Highlander Youth Recreation, their 50-70 intermediate team, they really are getting close to not just success on a big stage, but maybe even a U.S. championship or a World Series championship. They are playing at the Intermediate World Series, which takes place in Livermore, California. As they sit now, they are 3-0. They are undefeated, and tonight they will play in a game that is essentially a semifinal game in the U.S. bracket. So if they win tonight, they'll be in the U.S. championship later this week. If they win the U.S. championship, you go to the World Series championship or the international championship. Tonight they play McCalla Little League from Alabama, and like HYR, this Alabama Little League is undefeated as well. It's a 9 o'clock game, and I haven't streamed any of them yet, but I understand they're available for streaming as well. So that is something I plan to check out. Always fun to see local kids do well, and this Highlander Youth Recreation team is absolutely on a roll. Looks like they've got a big challenge tonight, but hey, when you get that far in a bracket and you're undefeated, you're going to play really good teams, and so we'll see how they handle the team from Alabama tonight. If they win that, again, they're in the U.S. championship game, which takes place out in Livermore, California later this week, and ultimately they are, I guess, three games away from playing for a world championship in the intermediate division of Little League Baseball. So really cool stuff. Once again, tonight we'll celebrate Silver Creek in their major baseball. That's kind of the division that goes all the way to Williamsport. We'll celebrate that from 7 to 8 with our Night of Champions show. But right when that ends at 9 o'clock, you'll be able to stream on the ESPN platform. I think it's ESPN Plus, the Intermediate 50-70 World Series game, U.S. semifinal tonight. Best of luck to HYR. I've seen a lot of social media posts, a lot of people wishing them well. Again, really cool to see local players, local kids in this case, put something big together. Let's hope they can go on and win tonight and win the championship, the U.S. championship later this week. Also, we're getting really close to high school football. It's July 31st today, so this Friday will be August 2nd. We've got the 2nd, the 9th, the 16th, and the 23rd. Until that's when football starts. So we have 1, 2, 3 Fridays with no football, and then August 23rd is when everything begins. I was looking at the schedules. We're getting ready for a high school football media day that I'll tell you about here in just a moment. But we were, you know, we are getting excited. There's some players of interest and some teams that are a little unknown. There's a lot of new coaches in the area. And one of the biggest disappointments, and this is something that Lee Kelly and I have spoke about, we've always looked forward, all fans, Providence, New Albany fans, our radio coverage, lots of other people as well, have always looked forward to New Albany and Providence to begin the high school football season. It's always been a great rivalry. Yes, there's a big discrepancy in the enrollments of the two schools, but it's been competitive. And more importantly, for a sport like football that sometimes doesn't get the crowds or the support on Friday nights that you would hope it would, it brought out an unbelievable crowd. A, people were excited about the rivalry. B, it was a new season. Nobody had won. Nobody had lost. And great crowds came out. Schools made a lot of money to help fund football and other things for the rest of the season. New Albany playing Evansville Harrison at home on August 23rd, and Providence is going down to Bardstown Bethlehem for a matchup on August 23rd. Lee and I talked some about this and the reasons it may or may I should say the reasons it isn't going to happen reportedly or what's been said. But obviously, that's a big knock for the start of high school football, and we'll talk more about that as we get a little closer. Still excitement with the first Friday approaching. Still a lot of interesting games to follow. Our coverage at the Big X will roll on that Friday night. We'll have reporters out at numerous games and be providing play-by-play of a couple of the key games. And we'll do all of our pregame stuff, our postgame stuff. But big disappointment because that was a fun matchup between two student bodies that are a lot of fun when they get together and go against each other. And just generally to see that many people at a high school football game to start the season was really big. But disappointing that they won't be playing, and I'm sure that we'll talk more about that as we get a little closer to the season. Also, coming up on Thursday, August 8th, mentioned this with Craig Pearson a couple weeks ago, but I want to start to promote it on a daily basis. We have our high school football media day, which is presented by the Big X Sports Radio, but also the News and Tribune as well. Craig and I will be interviewing coaches, all 8 coaches from Clark and Floyd counties, about their football teams. Each school will have about 15, 17 minutes as what will be dedicated to them. We're going to get all the insight, all the scoop about how things have went in the offseason with their roster and what they've been up to in the summer and how early season practices are going. We'll start previewing some of their early games as well. So we're looking forward to that. Lee Kelly's going to be with us on that night and kind of be responsible for player interviews. We've asked each coach to bring 2 really good key players, whether it be upperclassmen or standouts on the field, that we can talk to as well. So it's a night dedicated to high school football. Thursday, August 8th, high school football media day by the Big X and News and Tribune sports team. And it's going to be at Zaxby's on Highway 62. And we'll have more details about the time and all that. But coaches are being notified, and we look forward to just a great night to promote high school football as we get into the 2019 season. And again, I always say this, once football begins, it's just a matter of time. Basketball's here, the school year rolls through, and before you know it, we're at the holiday break and things are basically halfway over. But looking forward to high school football this year. I think a lot of parity in the area, a lot of unknown in the area, a lot of new coaches in the area. There are some key players in the area that we can focus in on as well. So very much looking forward to August 8th and our high school football media day here on the Big X Sports Radio. That's our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, IU basketball, IU recruiting, and more coming your way next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com with us Wednesdays on the program. And Jeff, I was thinking about this today. It's a slow time in sports. It's the dog days of summer. High school sports have not yet arrived here in an area where that's really important still, and we talk a lot about that. But thank God for IU basketball and IU basketball recruiting. It's something that never seems to have an off day. There's always some sort of news or some sort of tidbit out there that we can stretch into a reasonable segment and talk about, especially when we have all of your knowledge with us here on the program.
Ah, you're very kind. You're very kind. Yeah, it's definitely something that's, you know, that definitely has a lot going on even through the summer, especially in July, and especially as July, you know, we come out of July and head toward August, and all the players you get to see in July and all the events that happen. There's definitely a lot to talk about, a lot going on.
Jeff, let's talk about Trey Galloway. He sure has been a very familiar name on this program, especially since his commitment on Friday. In fact, he's going to join the program tomorrow after we talk to Alex Bozich, so I look forward to having that conversation directly with him. But he's a guy that you've watched for many years. You've known his father for a number of years as well, as he's been a high school basketball coach here in the state. And this is kind of a repetitive question. I've asked a couple guys this that have come on this week, but your thoughts on the addition of Trey Galloway to start the 2020 recruiting class for Indiana?
Yeah, I think it's a really, really good addition. There are a number of reasons for that. But among them, things I would put, you know, somewhere either at or near the top, toughness, ornery, competitive. Toughness meaning, you know, he's very willing to go out and defend the other team's best player. He's very willing to go inside and get competitive rebounds. It was so funny because, I was sitting there out in L.A., with Paul Beancardi from ESPN one game. And Paul was like, where do you think Trey's going? I was like, I think he's heading to Indiana, and I'll be very, very stunned if anything changes. And he was like, okay, so I'm going to look at it from the standpoint of what do I like that fits in the Big Ten. And they were playing the Compton Magic, a very good team, very talented team, very athletic team. And about every couple minutes, you know, Paul was like, oh, that's a Big Ten rebound right there. And then Trey would go inside, box somebody else out, go up again. He's like, oh, Big Ten rebound. Oh, Big Ten rebound. Oh, Big Ten rebound. And I don't know how many times he said that, but it was like, I never really thought of it specifically in those terms, but it was kind of interesting, you know, the little things that he does. And if you look at it through a coach's eyes, you know, he does things that, you know, are competitive plays that matter. And I also think, you know, he's a very underrated athlete. You know, you look at, you know, all the alley-oops that Anthony Leal threw to him, and he had a couple out there in L.A. where he caught him and cocked him and threw him down. And I was even like, Trey, I knew you could get up. I didn't know you could get up. And kind of like, I didn't know you had any hang time. You know, he just looks at me like, you know, come on, what do you, you know, why are you underestimating me? You watched me, you know, for 4 years, but I was like, I didn't know you could do it. So I think he is underrated as an athlete. You know, I think he's definitely a guy whose shot has improved. You know, he shot 42.9%, basically 43% from three on the Adidas Gauntlet circuit, making more than a three per game. So, you know, that's a very good rate. Shot 61% overall from the field. He had multiple 20-point games, had a game high, or had a summer high of 32 points. So he can go out and get points. But I think toughness, aggressiveness, you know, his ability to put the ball on the deck and drive is really improved. And I think people who watch him early, maybe possibly kind of forgot about the fact that he had a hamstring injury that really slowed him. And anybody who saw him this summer definitely saw a completely different dude.
Jeff Rapp, JohnsPeaks.com. We're starting our conversation today talking about Trey Galloway. He's the first commit to IU in the class of 2020. Where does Indiana, in your opinion, go from here in the 2020 class? Obviously, Anthony Leal is strongly considering the Hoosiers, Stanford and IU, his final two. And there are a whole bunch of other names that Indiana has really targeted in the month of July, in the month of June, when they could be on the road, and guys that are beginning to trim their list and kind of cut things down a little bit. Indiana's made a number of those lists as well, with, I think, potentially more expected, with Caleb Love trimming his list down later this week. But is there a certain direction as you look at Galloway's commitment, and then if you look at the roster and the scholarship years and what's going to unfold for Indiana as far as who is in each class, a position, a type of player that Indiana really should focus on next now that Trey Galloway is in the class officially?
Yeah, I mean, the two guys you look at next are Anthony Leal, 6'5 shooting guard from Bloomington South, and Matt Cross, about a 6'7 forward from out in Boston. He's going to play for Brewster Academy this fall. Plays with Boston Area Basketball Club, longtime AU program during the summer. So that's definitely, those are the two guys you look at next. Now, Anthony Leal, I've been trying to tell people this for a year. And early on, you know, it was people didn't think I was, I don't know, they didn't think it was real with Stanford. And I kept trying to tell them, I'm like, Anthony Leal is serious about Stanford. It's going to be close with Stanford going down to the end, no matter who his final group is. Like, trust me, Stanford is for real. And Stanford is still for real. This is not a courtesy listing. All the people who say, well, look at Stanford basketball, look at IU basketball. I'm like, yeah, I understand that. But what people need to do is look at it through Anthony Leal's eyes. And he's looking at the Stanford basically business program overall, big picture. And if you look at their graduates, especially the people who get a graduate degree from Stanford in business, and you look at their earnings after 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years, those are things that get your attention. And they get your attention quite quickly. So he is serious about Stanford. This is going to be, you know, this is going to be an interesting decision for him. Now, what IU has done, and I think very smartly, has pointed out to him that, you know, look at what IU basketball players who get a business degree, business-related degree, do right out of college. Look at the job Zach McRoberts got right out of college. Look at the job Anthony Leal or Colin Hartman got right out of college. Look at, you know, the great life that, you know, Wayne Radford's had, you know. So I think Indiana has done a very good job, a better job than in the past, of showing players, hey, you know, if you're looking at more life in the real world after college as opposed to can I get to the NBA, you know, here, look at these guys. So that's going to be a really interesting one. But Anthony Leal is incredibly bright. He's ranked somewhere around, if he's not still number one in his class, he's right around number one. I believe he came out of his junior year ranked number one. Can't say that with 100% certainty, but he's one of those students who's, you know, competing for valedictorian. Let's just, you know, say that. So, you know, Stanford is for real. That's going to be tight. You know, with Matt Cross, he made official visits earlier already to Indiana, Miami and South Carolina and Butler, you know, his main schools out of that group were Indiana, Miami, and South Carolina. I do not anticipate Butler being a serious player moving forward. And then he was thinking about making his decision, but he decided to go ahead and take senior year official visits to Florida. He took that a week ago. Later this month, he's going to go down to Texas A&M. There is an existing relationship with his family and Buzz Peterson, the former Virginia Tech coach, who's now down at Texas A&M. So I wouldn't scratch them off right away. I think it's I think it's unlikely a kid from Boston decides to play college basketball at Texas Station. I think that would be a very big surprise. But there's a good relationship there. So those are the two guys you look at the most. And then I think beyond that, you move on to, okay, they're going to make the final group for Caleb Love. That's been decided for a long time. But they're not running at the top. They're probably going to have a real chance to make the final group for DJ Stewart, 5-star guard out of Chicago, but they're not at the top. They're still in the running for Hassan Diarra, very good, aggressive, strong point guard from the PSA Cardinals program, same AAU program that Thomas Bryant played for, but they're not at the top. They got a chance to get an official visit from Jalen Bridges, very athletic, strong 6'7" forward from Huntington Prep, but they're not at the top. So there's a lot of guys that they're in on what I would say at a very good level. But somebody said, okay, who would you put at the top? Would put IU at the top, but they're in like the main group. So they've got very good options, but there's going to be some fights that they're going to be in on, and I think there's going to be some legitimate battles there that. If they win one or two, great. They've done a great job. If you get official visits and don't get them, I think it may be a little tough on, certain areas, but definitely you look at Anthony Lee and you look at Matt Cross next as far as, if you were telling me to answer the question, who is IU recruiting, who's going to make the decisions next, I think it's probably one, Matt Cross, two, Anthony Leal. Maybe flip that order, but those are the top two guys.
Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Lots of IU recruiting stuff, kind of a really good rundown of the whole picture, especially in the 2020 class for Indiana right now. Also, Jeff, another recruiting thing I wanted to bring up in our conversation today, and you did a story on this player, so you can push people to the Pigs.com website if they are a subscriber to check that out. If they aren't, I'm not sure what they're doing following IU recruiting without subscribing to the Pigs.com site. But Blake Wesley, he is a player that what an offseason, what a summer he's had. He's had just in the last, if you take a snapshot of his recruiting in the last, 48 hours or so, I think he's had four at least high major offers, Indiana, Purdue, Notre Dame, and also I think Cincinnati in that mix. Those are at least ones that I've seen come across. So he is someone that his stock has risen. The in-state schools, Big Ten schools have taken notice, and it's going to be really interesting to see if Archie Miller can work his in-state magic there and land another player from South Bend, although Wesley's in a much younger class than what we've been talking about with 2020.
Right, yeah. Blake Wesley, class of 2021. 6'4", athletic, long, can make threes, can drive it. I think he's probably about 4-star level as an athlete, maybe 4-star plus. He's right at 4-star as far as skills for a player coming out of his sophomore year of high school. He's a guy who I remember watching him last year. South Bend Raleigh's playing at Indianapolis Cathedral, and Cathedral has Armon Franklin, current IU freshman, and a number of other, really talented players. And Blake Wesley gets two fouls in, first 90 seconds or so. Boom. All right, on the bench. Sits the rest of the first half. Can't have you foul out. I think he had scored 2 points. He comes in the second half, and South Bend Raleigh is down. And he just, boom, starts nailing threes, driving by guys, rising up over guys, scores 21 points in the second half. Armon Franklin's a terrific defender. Armon Franklin was having all kinds of problems that day with Blake Wesley. And to me, that was the moment I was kind of like, okay, I think this kid's legit. You can prove it to me over the spring and summer, but you drop 21 points when Armon's trying to stop you, that kind of gets your attention. Hey, a great spring and summer. Played for Brian Keaton with the G3 Grind AU program on the Under Armour circuit. Did really, really well. And the thing that I like the most about him is he's got skill right now, but his athleticism surpasses his skill right now just because he is fast, he's quick, he can get up and down the court. He can rise up above and finish over people. So I think he's a really good player. I don't know. It's really interesting 2021 class when you look at this kind of a big three, and then a lot of times people talk about, okay, well, who's next? You know, and obviously with Christian Lander, Caleb Burst, and Trey Kaufman, Caleb Burst from up in Fort Wayne. But I think those three guys pretty much established themselves right now. Again, we're talking about players coming out of sophomore year, so a lot of time left, but those are kind of the big three in 2021 in state. And then you kind of look at who's next. Well, I mean, there's a lot of candidates. There definitely is a lot of candidates. But Blake Wesley is certainly on that list. And, I was, in February, I listed Blake Wesley as, clear high major prospect. And I don't think there's any question that that's what he is. I think it's going to be interesting to see, does he get interest outside the Midwest footprint or not? To me, that's the only real question. Right now, he's going to, he's got, like you said, IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, Cincinnati, all offered in the last about 3 or 4 days. Xavier's in there seriously. There's some other mid-major offers. Michigan State are looking at him. Illinois is looking at him. Nebraska's new staff is taking a look at him. So he's definitely a guy who's a candidate for, maybe the fourth best player in the state in a 2021 class that I think you're going to have at least 10 guys go play for Power 5 programs, and it could be more.
Wow. Wow, what a time for basketball in Indiana. Each year you wonder, can this class do better than what previous classes has done? And as you think what the next couple of years could look like, even if you're not an IU fan, even if you're just a fan of good basketball in the state, and you want to see some great matchups, at the Forum Tip-Off Classic or in the state tournament, there are a lot of really good players that, no doubt about it, are going to attract, or already are attracting, the attention of great college basketball programs and have great futures. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Let's talk a little bit about some things going on right now with this IU basketball team before we let you go, Jeff. Joey Brunk, the weight room guy of the summer. Interesting. Incoming guy, graduate transfer. Already kind of a bigger build to him. I mean, not just outlandish, I don't think, but interesting to see that he seems to have really bought in. We talked to him when he first made the decision to come to Indiana. There was a lot of clear goals that he stated he had, and it's obvious that he went right to work as soon as he got to Bloomington.
Yeah, Joey Brunk grew up watching IU basketball. Guys, Jordan Hulls, Cody Zeller, Victor Oladipo, Derek Elston, Christian Watford, that whole group, Verdell Jones, all those guys. That's kind of what he grew up on. And, he always wanted to play at IU. And he understands what it means to wear Indiana on your chest. And, when he was coming out of high school, Southport High School, Indianapolis on the south side, there were things that just didn't exactly fit perfectly. So he decided to go to Butler to start because he was a kid who, he didn't have a ton of interest in leaving the state. He really didn't. He had some bigger offers, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and, some other bigger programs were involved. But Joey Brunk's an Indiana kid. And, when he had the chance to grad transfer and play at IU, he took it, and he took it with enthusiasm. And he walked in the door at IU and went, okay, I'm here with you guys, and let's get to work, including me. He wasn't a guy who was just going to be like the leader who tells other people how hard to work. He was going to be the leader who, says some things, but he's also going to show you. And, if you're spending an hour in the weight room with Cliff Marshall, he's going to spend an hour and a half. If the next day you spend 2 hours, he's going to spend 2.5. If you spend three, he's spending 3.5. He just understands what it means to wear Indiana on your chest. And I tried to tell people this for a long time, and I think you probably gathered some of this when you talked to him. It is a big freaking deal for that kid to wear Indiana on his chest and play for that program in that building. He gets it. And he just, he understands he now gets 2 years at IU. But he also understands he only gets 2 years. He doesn't get four. It's only two. And he is down there to maximize every second that he's going to be down there, and he's going to just absolutely do everything he can. So I think that's significant, and I think it's notable that he won the off-season belt that they call it. You know who did the best job in the weight room in a year when you had a number of guys do really well. Al Durham could have won it. There's a couple other guys who definitely could have won it. This was a year where it was really, really competitive. And for Joey Bronk as a newcomer to go win it, I think that shows you his commitment level to IU basketball.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, always with us Wednesdays. Lots of good stuff, Jeff. Thank you very much, and I'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
Matt, my pleasure, my friend. We'll see you soon. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. And again, a lot of the things we talk about with Jeff and with all the guests that appear on our show, you can find more about what they're working on and in detail at their respective media outlet. For Jeff, it's thepeegs.com. That's P-E-E-G-S.com website. And you can follow Jeff on social media as well for a lot of updates from all the different things that he covers related to IU basketball and recruiting. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, time for some local sports headlines. We do this each Wednesday with Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune. He's the sports editor there, and he joins me in studio coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment is Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. You can read a lot of Craig's work and the sports team's work at newsandtribune.com/sports. And Craig is always with us on Wednesdays to talk about some of the local sports headlines. And Craig, now's the time of year where we can kind of focus in on some things that we won't have time for or won't be able to get to when high school football and the school year picks up very soon. But we've got some fun stuff going on right now at the Little League level with Silver Creek getting ready to head to the Great Lakes Regional. Highlander Youth Recreation in the Intermediate Division out in Livermore, California. They are playing well. They are 3-0, and tonight they play in what is a U.S. Championship Bracket semifinal game. They are a game away from a U.S. title opportunity and two games away from a World Series opportunity. Fun stuff, big stuff for this HYR team.
Yeah, you know, all these summer Little League experiences are just great. The coaches talk about making memories and everything like that. And, you know, Josh Cook, our sports reporter, has been keeping tabs on this HYR team and checking in with them almost daily. And I think they had a day off here yesterday and, you know, were able to do some sightseeing in nearby San Francisco and that sort of thing. Just, you know, and they're competing against teams from all over the place. And that's got to be a heck of an experience for some young guys, you know, kind of coming of age in baseball and maturing and obviously playing some very good baseball. So very cool to see. And, you know, it's a relatively small little league compared to some of the places out there in the country and whatnot. So, yeah, it's a pretty, pretty cool story to see them, you know, on the verge of competing for a world championship.
And I've had a couple of people say, hey, we know Silver Creek goes to the Great Lakes, and then they've got the chance to go to Williamsport. And we've always, and I think ESPN and others, referred to that 12-year-old major division, whatever you want to call it, as the main division of Little League baseball and really softball as well. But this intermediate division, it's one that it's not caught on at every Little League. HYR locally has been the one that's really been able to turn that into a success. But it's a growing division. It's kind of a great thing for Little League to see them expand into another program and another area, and it's great that we have a local Little League that's been able to get really on the forefront of that.
Sure, absolutely. I agree 100%, you know, and yeah, that, you know, Little League is faces challenges, obviously, in growing, and whether that's, you know, growing their product and losing, you know, they lose some leagues and towns that go to other organizations at times. And I think there are a lot of good models for Little League, such as New Albany, obviously, with the success they've had and the way they're running it. And I think some of our local teams are trying to learn from that, like Jeff's modeling some of the things that New Albany's done. And obviously, HYR's having success in both baseball and softball, so that's awesome. Silver Creek as well, you know, they're you know, they said, why not us? Let's get a team together that can contend for this district title and make a run at it. And so that's good to see that there's several programs here in our district that are capable of doing such big things. So, but that brings me to something. I'm putting together a little article about just that, about kind of the strength of the district and that sort of thing, and talk to our district coordinator about that, and as well as some other people. You know, I think Brownsburg is a city that's has a similar program to New Albany that's had some success and sent some guys onto the major leagues in this last 20 years and that sort of thing. So anyway, just something to dive into a little bit as the Little League season winds down and we've had so much success over the recent years here.
Absolutely. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, with me here in studio. We talk local sports headlines on Wednesday. Speaking of baseball, at the high school level, we had a commit recently. Webster Walls of Clarksville is going to play at Bellarmine. They're beginning their transition from Division II to Division I, which is pretty neat. And I mentioned earlier in our headline segment, of course, Bellarmine coached by a local guy in Larry Owens. So a good connection there, and Webster had a really big year for Clarksville.
Absolutely, yeah. Webster, I caught up with him about mid-season this spring with Clarksville. I think he homered in 5 straight games at one point, which was pretty phenomenal achievement there. And I think he finished with 7 or 8 home runs and, you know, hit around close to 400 and just had a really strong junior year. And he's just a smooth swinging left-handed bat, man. He's you know, I can see why Coach Owens and others were interested in him. And he'll, you know, he's got a nice solid looking frame to probably build upon as he gets a little older, and could probably be a pretty good power hitter at the college level. And for him to head to a program that's local, for, you know, nearby home, and be able to, you know, battle for playing time at what's going to be a Division I program, that's got to be a dream come true for him.
Absolutely. Craig of the News and Tribune, my guest, newsandtribune.com/sports, where you can read about a lot of the stuff we're talking about and we talk about each week in this segment. Also, from a baseball perspective, I've got one more baseball thing before we get to some basketball. But you wrote a story earlier in the week about some former Jeffersonville standouts who are playing in the Ohio Valley League. It's a college summer league, a wooden bat league. There are a number of local players. In fact, I was down at Du Bois County last night to watch the Bombers. Chase Rudy on that team did not get to pitch last night, but hoping to in the championship series, which begins on Friday. The Bombers won the series. I guess it was a semifinal series, of Eastern Conference series, best of 3 last night. So a lot of local players in that league. You wrote about some of the Jeffersonville guys and really the league as a whole in a story earlier this week. And the neat thing is even though that season is coming to an end soon, some of those guys, including Du Bois County with some local players and the Owensboro entry with some local players, they're going to be across the river at Slugger Field in a really cool event called the Bluegrass World Series that features some of those teams, but also some former Major League players as well.
Right, yeah. Ian Ellis, Bailey Falkenstein are both pretty excited about that opportunity to get to go against guys like, former Major Leaguer Chris Burke from Louisville, and I think Bailey mentioned that was his hitting instructor, or former hitting instructor, or something along those lines. So he's looking forward to that opportunity. And yeah, those guys had a huge summer to make all league honors, and in a quality summer collegiate league like that, it's a big deal, you know. Especially for Bailey, a guy that didn't get to play much in the spring or at all. He took a medical red shirt, so it was good for him to get out there and put together a good season and prepare himself for having a big year at Olney as he tries to, advance himself from the junior college level and see where he can take himself. And And Ian, man, Ian had a huge spring for Kentucky Wesleyan and just came on strong with the bat and just carried that through the summer and just look forward to seeing what he can accomplish next year as a senior. And, yeah, like you said, a lot of local talent in that Ohio Valley League. And I think DuBois County has Bryson McNay of Silver Creek as well. And but, yeah, we had some other guys from the area have some solid summer leagues as well. But those two guys kind of stood out.
Absolutely. Basketball is where we'll finish this segment today. I always call it back to school. It's that time of year when school starts back, if it's time for the Battle of the Bridges. And this is the 22nd annual Battle of the Bridges. It's essentially an all-day, all-star showcase between Southern Indiana and Metro Louisville. And it's been going on for many, many years. And each class, some of the top players from both sides of the river will hook up and play against each other for some bragging rights as school gets back in session. And this is kind of the start of the school year. To me, it reminds us that the high school basketball season, it's still a ways off, but it's not that far off. And seeing some of the players, especially in that older game, I guess you could call it the main game, the seniors 2020 class for this coming season, seeing some of the guys that this Indiana team is going to have, and in the Louisville area team as well, that is going to be a terrific nightcap to what has always been a traditional great battle between the Southern Indiana and Louisville portion between each other, battling it out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking this out. We've obviously, Jake Heidbreeder's among the guys. I think Jacob Jones is playing. I'm drawing a blank on some of the other boys locally here, but those are two of the ones I'm sure of. And even on the girls' side, we have Kelsey James of Jeff, who committed to IU Kokomo recently, and Jacqueline Emily is among a couple of Silver Creek girls. So, quite a few local players of interest, and just looking forward to a good evening there and seeing what kind of show they can put on.
Absolutely. The Battle of the Bridges takes place at Mid-America Sports Center, which is right off the Hurstbourne Lane exit. At least that's how I go to it in Louisville. So it's an easy place to get to. We'll tell you a little bit more about it later in the week, including the roster for the Indiana boys team, who will take on the Louisville area Stars Saturday night in the nightcap. Craig, thanks as always. Great to catch up. We'll talk to you again very soon. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Trey Galloway joins us tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.